Okay. Very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is our lesson 82 of the Sixth Pitya Black Pong Sutta, and the date is 5th of July. August. The white body didn't change the month. But change the month to August. So 5th of August, 2018. So Sunday. We are having this Wu Ping Jing class. Then there's a new book just came out. Lesson 75 of the Sixth Pitya Platform Sutta. This is the one that I told you all. The Bodhidharma's advice and all those things there. So you go back, make sure you spend some time, read through it, and it will help you to develop the understanding. He also summarized to you all of the cultivation that you all need to understand. Okay. So now we will get ready for puja. Compose your mind, develop the sadha, virya, the mindful vision, commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipano bhagavato savakasangho sangham namami. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dityampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dityampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dityampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapama tathata เวรามณีสิกขาปะทังสมาธิยามิสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเคแล้วสเปรสไปทริปเจ้าครับบุตรปุจเจธัมมังปุจเจมิสังฆังปุจเจมิโอเคYou all can be seated and maintain some form of attention. Then we can commence our sutta sharing. Before we start, we will turn to page 1. We will recite the verse for opening a sutta. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma.It's difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay. Then, before we continue, we were at page 413. We haven't read the commentary. Okay. Before that, there is some notes. Anybody don't have the notes? Consciousness, mundane and supramundane. Anybody don't have the notes? You can collect from me. You have, then you just turn to page 1. We will go through. This one, I think, I got it from one of the websites. They were having this correspondent there. Then last Sunday, Wu Ping Ching sir, I think I mentioned it. Then Ing Bi asked me what sutta. So I told her, is this sutta which I will have to look it up. Then I finally located it. That's why I sent it to Ing Bi. Then asked her to help print out the email. The sutta is too long, so no point. All the beginning one all repeated, not important. It's only the last part of the sutta which was already in the email. So I told her just print out the email. It's enough for us to discuss it. So page 1, 19 of June 2018. Somebody wrote to the Dhammasutta website. He said the book The Law of Dependent Arising talks about this two types of consciousness. He used the word two consciousness. It's supposed to be two types of consciousness. It just got my attention when it stated that there are two types of consciousness. I never thought of it that way. Then there is this Pali word, Abhisankhata.Vijnana, the specific prepared consciousness. Then it's also known as the deluded consciousness, means mundane consciousness, means people who have not developed the wisdom. So this is the mundane consciousness, Sankhata, Abhisankhata, Vijnana. Then the second type is Sabbato Bhava.Vijnana. So this is the non-manifestative consciousness, also known as the lustrous consciousness. The actual word should be the supramundane consciousness. So is the second type, Nibbana. This was the question posed by thisparticular person who wrote the email. It doesn't say so in the book. And then I assume that the Arahant has eliminated the first type of consciousness completely. So So this is the other question that he tried to confirm. It also says that when light comes from all directions, consciousness becomes non-manifestative. The book, I think, explains things very well, but I would love to hear more insight from this. So this was the inquiry. Before we move on, I will just explain to you a little bit about these two types of consciousness. The two types of consciousness. Mundane and the supramundane. So this one, under our Tuesday class, we have already studied them. Excuse me. Under the law of karma, we have mundane consciousness. They got the kusala and the akusala. So they subdivided it into 12 types of akusala citta. Then 8 types of kusala citta. Means there are 12 types of unwholesome consciousness of the mundane nature, means non-enlightened one. Then there are 8 kusala, means wholesome citta consciousness. Then there is also the 4 types, oh sorry, 5 types of form consciousness, consciousness of the form right. Those that take existence in the Brahma Raya, the 16 Brahma Raya, they are called the Rupa Loka. Rupa Loka is, they exist within that form Raya. Ours is the Kama Loka, sensual Raya, up to the Deva plane. Then above the Deva, which is the Brahma, 16 Brahma Raya, they are called the Rupa Loka, form Raya. So this form Raya, there are 5 types of consciousness. They define it according to the jhanic factors. The jhanic factors. Then above the form rind is the formless rind. So there are another 4 up there. So total is 12 plus 8. This unwholesome and wholesome plus 5. Which is the form right, then plus 4, which is the formless right. Total 29 type of consciousness. But this one doesn't include the supramundane. This one is just the mundane. Then they, in the Abhidhamma, they subdivide it further until you got to know 89 or whatever number, not important. The basic one is this 29. Then there are 8 types of supramundane consciousness. Why 8 types? You know that why 8 types? Because enlightened being got 4 pair, Magga and Pala. So 4 pair, Magga, Pala, there's like each of these enlightened beings, they can arise a type of supramundane consciousness. That's why it's called the supramundane consciousness. So this type of consciousness is with wisdom, with the awakening. That's why they can arise this type of supramundane consciousness. The rest fall under mundane. in consciousness. But under this sutta, they don't quite understand what the Buddha meant. See, under the Pali word, they got this abhisankata. Sankata means within the world. Within the world, conditioned world. So here they say, specifically prepared consciousness means using your will, your mind. And this one is also known as the deluded consciousness. Where this one manifests by unenlightened being. They don't have wisdom, they have delusion. So this abhisankata vijnana is called the mundane consciousness with delusion. So this one, most putujana living beings, they arise this type of consciousness. So whether you are from the sensual rhyme, or the form rhyme, or the formless rhyme, all this type of consciousness will be there. So this one is sensual rhyme. Sensual rhyme. Or they call it the Kamaloka. Kama. Loka. Kama is sensual. So Kamaloka is sensual rhyme. So this one is Akusala. Akusala Chitta. This one is Kusala Chitta. Wholesome and unwholesome. Then this one is the form rhyme. Form rhyme. Or Rupa Loka. And the last one is formless. Right. So this formless rhyme, we call it the Arupa Loka. Arupa Loka. So now it's clear. This is a simplified way to classify consciousness. So human being and the devas and the asura and even the hell rhyme, animal rhyme and the peta or whatever, they fall under sensual rhyme, kamaloka, within the sensual. When you reach the form line, rhyme, diyas are mainly concentrated mind, the four Brahma Vihara. They have a lot of metta, karuna, then mudita, and upekha. So diyas, they have less of the sensual desire and ill will and all those things. The reason being, in the state of jhana, they suppress all their sensual craving. Even their anger, their aversion, or what. The five mental hindrance, they are all suppressed. That's why the senses are not active. The senses are more restrained, but not through wisdom. Restrained through concentration, through jhana, through energy field, through a conditioned state of mind. So this is the difference. Then when you reach the formless rhyme, it's even more refined, more fine than the form rhyme. The form jhana is still gross compared to the formless. When you reach the formless rhyme, we are talking about the first one is infinite space. It's just space. Then the second one is infinite consciousness. It's just consciousness. That's why they are all the formless rhyme. Then the third formless rhyme is the rhyme of nothingness. Nothingness means like there is nothing there. Nothing. Then when you reach the most refined of the formless rhyme, the mind like doesn't exist. It neither perceive or non-perceive. That's why the rhyme of neither perception or non-perception. You know what is perception is? You perceive something in there. So it's neither perceiving or not perceiving. Can you imagine what type of mind is it? Not much. Because this one, the energy is very, very fine. It's like they don't want to do anything. But because they lack the true wisdom, that mind cannot cease. Understand? Because they lack the true wisdom, the mind cannot cease. They cling on to that state, thinking that it's the highest. That's why Alara and Udaka, they got caught in the 7th and the 8th jhana, the formless rhyme. They think that is ultimate. That's why they want to take birth there after their passing away and all those things. So these are the 29 plus this 8, total 37 type of consciousness. 29 is mundane. Consciousness. So this is a simplified way. Like I say, they expand on this, then there are 88. I think it's 89 or what. You guys check the Abhidhamma. Whereas this one, the 8 types are supramundane. So total equals to 37. Then supramundane got 8 times because of the 4 pairs of enlightened beings we have gone through. So when it comes to the second type of consciousness that they talk about, sabbato bhava vijnana, the non-manifestative consciousness, also known as the lustrous consciousness. So what is manifestative, you know that? What is manifestative? Who manifesting? Use the mother. Who was the one that spoke just now? Anybody want to try? Who manifests? Pass to PG.
The mundane mind.
Yeah, very good. The mundane mind. Because this is like a magician, the Buddha said. The magician can create illusion, manifest illusion for you to see. So the manifestative mind is the mundane mind. So the non-manifestative means this is not a mundane mind anymore. Because it doesn't manifest. How does it manifest? To our one. Because we have the form and mind. The form and mind have what? Senses. Remember the triangle? These are not here. The other note, I didn't ask you all to photostat. Bhavasuri. The one with the triangle and the four type of consciousness. But I copy to you. I think photostat that one also. That one very useful. Photostat about 40 copies should be more than 40 copies. You see, that triangle you can remember. It's a very good way of expressing. This one, the consciousness up here is the pure awareness. So this C here is the pure awareness, or the pure consciousness. Then here we have the senses. Then here we have the wisdom. You see, from this pure awareness is the first thing that come out. From the source, the first thing that come out is the primordial awareness, just the pure awareness. The other four circles is this. This is a source, then This is the pure awareness. Then after that is the mundane mind. Then the phenomenal world of consciousness. Phenomenal world of consciousness. So this is how it manifests. So from the source come out here is the pure awareness. Okay? So this is here. That's why I put C. The consciousness without content. That's why it's the pure consciousness or the pure awareness. Then when you use this, that's why whatever meditation you do, you must realize the silent mind. This is the silent mind. This is the meditative mind. So from here, you can meditate. If you use the pure awareness through the direct seeing, direct seeing, then you can see things as they are, awaken insight into phenomena to develop the wisdom here. When the wisdom is connected to the senses, which is the form and mind, the five aggregate of form and mind. So this form and mind is the five aggregate. When the wisdom is connected, this is noble living. Noble or enlightened. Living, living. Enlightened. Whereas this one is the normal seeing. Normal or mundane living, mundane seeing or living. Yeah, this one, through delusion, you don't understand that you have a pure awareness. So straight away, at the senses, you create thought. This is how it manifests. You understand? The sixth sense door. From there, this consciousness is the consciousness, like your battery, give energy. Upon contact with the senses, what happens? The light bulb lights up. Understand? That's how it manifests. Manifests into what? Seeing consciousness. But through delusion, you input your content, which is your wrong view. That's how your sakkaya ditti, self-delusion, comes. And when there is self-delusion, you have your evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why you grasp, you cling, positive, negative, light, and this, you stir your mind. That's why the phenomenon will come about. And you get trapped and entangled. So this is the manifestative aspect. This is where the mundane mind is. This is where the mundane mind is. So this is five aggregate form and mind, mundane living. This is where the creation, samsara and all those things is. So this one is samsara. The wheel of birth and death. When you are trapped at the senses, you keep on manifesting. You keep on creating. That's why the whole phenomenal world come about. Yeah, this mundane mind creates. And the reason why you cannot return home is because you are deluded. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Continuously through ignorance, self-delusion, you create mental activity. They say avijja paccaya sankhara is very active. Not until avijja is attenuated, means you straighten your view and got less and less delusion, more and more right view, then avijja is weakened. When avijja weakened, what happened? Huh? Less sankhara, isn't it? What is sankhara? Thinking. Emotion. All the various types of mental state, mental activity. So all this will slow down. Then the mind, like more and more clarity. That's why without avijja, you don't create sankhara. The mundane mind is to be. You understand? When you don't think, you don't create, you don't manifest, this one will return to the true mind. This is the true mind. This is where you meditate. This is the true mind. Or we call it the silent mind. Silent or meditative mind. Clear now. So you always remember this, then you will know how to meditate. Whatever that the mundane mind create is not real. Why? The Buddha already mentioned, because this is dependent, originating, conditioned, arising. Without the senses, it cannot trigger our consciousness. This pure awareness of consciousness, the moment the form and mind come, is connected. But you don't know. You forgot about this. Your true mind, your true nature, this is the gateway to your nature. But living being has forgotten because they are completely deluded. That's why they use this to create normal sense or consciousness via the mundane mind. The duality, everything starts from here. So this is where it manifests. So this is the creator. Not God. That one is a different type of creator. This one is a magician. Creator or? Or magician. The Buddha called it. Consciousness is the magician. So this magician is your mundane mind, mundane consciousness. So from here, it creates the phenomenal world. So this phenomenal world, consciousness. So this is how the existential world comes about, the creation, the formation. So to meditate is very simple. When you understand this is how it happened, then you need to allow this to return. So all of the phenomenal world, when you meditate, if you don't allow it to affect you, or if you don't give meaning to it, if you are not deluded by it, what happens is this will happen naturally. If you are not deluded, you don't give it any more mental energy based deluded thought. Then what happens is the mundane mind ceases to function. Because this one can only function when you got avijja. You understand? When you don't have right view. And when you don't have right view, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion keep on creating the phenomenal world, light and dislike, and all the karma, everything is here. So what happens is, if you allow it to be, this will slow down. Then return to its original state. When the mundane mind ceases, you straight away are able to realize your true mind. This is how you meditate. Understand? Relax, silent, away. Finish. The four support. Relax, silent, away. So when you are relaxed, when you are silent, means without the mundane mind, you are just in the state of awareness. Then you maintain for as long as you can, stabilize it. Then after that, trust your nature, let it do without the thought. That is the Bodhisattva way. Here is the same way. Understand? So when you understand this, your meditation becomes very easy. So this pure awareness, you have to realize it. That's why Hui Ling say the first thing you have to do is you must realize the state of no thought. Remember? The three hallmarks of Hui Ling. Wu Nian. Wu Nian. Even Miss Lee's teacher told her that. Then the other one, the thinking mind, that is delusion. Qi xing dong nian xiu ming. That's why when she read to me, I said, very good. This is the Dhamma. That's what the teacher taught them during the early days. When I was teaching the Heart Sutta, she wrote those things and asked me. Then I said, that is the Dhamma. Qi xing jiu ming. Because the moment you stir your mind, Sankara, there must be avijja behind. You understand? That's how avijja pachya sankara. That's why qi xing jiu shi dong nian. Qi xing jiu wu ming. Otherwise your mind will not stir. That's why wu ming yan xing. So all this is very clear. Then wu nian jiu shi zhen xing. The moment you are without thought means without the mundane mind, your true mind manifests. And this is all the time there. This is the unborn. This is the eternal, unconditioned nature. This one no need condition for it to be aware. That's why the essence of mind, which is awareness that can be aware of stillness and silence where there is no sense data. This is the one. This is the one that doesn't manifest. The moment it manifests, it becomes the mundane mind. You understand? The moment the five aggregate of all my mind come out, you are no longer with your pure awareness. You are no longer with your true mind. You already created. Still, that's why mundane mind come out. Can follow? So this is a very important understanding. So the notes will come later. I think we have prepared that note. Based on last Sunday, I think it's Ban Yuan. Ban Yuan tried to draw, but I think she used the you used the wrong one. That one cannot be printed, cannot come out. Because when you call cut and paste, it becomes straight line, and all the wording run. The attachment you do that one is not the correct tool also. Yeah, you manage to put the word there and the triangle, you draw a triangle. But the actual tool is a different one. It's inside the word file, which I did. Then I put in the arrow, everything. All this arrow, all I managed to put in. Then this one, all I managed to put in. You see the one that I modified. That one will have all this. So I also draw all this form. Then I also draw this. Then I explain it. So today, I hope with this it will be even more clearer so that you can understand very clearly. So if you live life this way, this is mundane living. Means you are not really living, you are conscious of life. Understand now? Because you use the consciousness to make contact with the senses and arise the consciousness. Then you are conscious of the seeing, conscious of the hearing, conscious of the smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. But you are not aware. Do you understand? Because this awareness, you doesn't know that it exists. But you are seldom aware from within. When you are aware from within, means you are at the true mind. You are here. You are here understanding all this creation. The unenlightened being, they are here. Understand? Mundane mind. They doesn't know there is an awareness behind. That's why they think a lot. This is all thought based. Consciousness and thought, consciousness and thought. No awareness at all. The only time they are aware is like when they are in deep sleep. But most people cannot. In this sleep, they go into the unconscious. And in the daily life, they cannot maintain daily mindfulness. That's why they cannot be aware of this state. So this state of pure awareness, very few cultivator or meditator can experience that. All of that experience is concentration, conditioned mind, one-pointedness, absorption. They are at the mundane mind level, but they stop the thinking. You understand? Because they focus, they concentrate. Everything they kill into one point. That's why ekagata, one-pointedness of mind. So when you keep on focusing your energy at that one point, the thought cannot move. Then the jhanic factor becomes very strong, very intense. That's why energy build up. Then they push it up. Then the mind becomes very calm, very still. But that is a conditioned state. That is not the free mind. This one is a free mind. This one is when the mundane mind sees, you realize the true mind. Natural. No concentration, nothing. And it can be in a state of samadhi because there is wisdom behind. That's why the upekkha, the last factor of enlightenment, is born of wisdom. Whereas the fourth jhana is born of upekkha, born of concentration, one-pointedness of mind, the jhana factor. So these two, you cannot differentiate if you do energy field. The energy field cannot understand the pure awareness. But those who do pure awareness, they can understand the energy field. But they go through, they went through. Like my case, during the early years, I went through. I was trapped there. Mine was not one point. Mine was continuous mindfulness. Anapanasati, too strong. Apana samadhi, I went through the absorption state. Then I also went through all this, the formless prime and all those things. But that mind is not a free mind. That's why finally I have to release it out to stay here to cultivate the daily mindfulness, to develop the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness, which is part of the Noble Eightfold Path. Then after that, cultivate the right view, Noble Eightfold Path factor, following the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. And this is how you have to start from here, the pure awareness, then go through the silent mind. This is the direct seeing through the silent mind. And this is the one that can awaken and give you the wisdom. And this wisdom, when connected to the form and mind, where the senses are, you got no problem. Because the wisdom will prevent you from being deluded by the phenomenal world. That's why you won't get trapped. You won't be deceived. And this is how you awaken. This is how you can develop the noble living or enlightened living. Whereas this is mundane living. Because you want shortcut, they let you go shortcut. Shortcut is so hard. You go get trapped in the mundane world, the phenomenal world, straight away. Because when you go shortcut, you forgot you are here. You straight away stay here. Understand? That's why I say you are caught here. And most living beings are caught here. They cannot free, because they cannot realize this. To realize the true mind is not easy. Most people, I tell you, almost 90% is all topless. Even those who call themselves vipassana, pure vipassana, maybe when they are in the retreat, when everything is very conducive, they got moment, I say moment, of calmness, stillness, quietness, which is very near the pure awareness. But before they even aware or realize of it, they panic. Understand? You know why they panic? You don't know. This is when it becomes so subtle, your breathing all stop. Like no more breathing. The moment the thought told them, hey, you are not breathing. What happened? The first word that come up is, I'm going to die. So they panic. No thought. No. Then fear arises. Then you know what other thing can happen? The mind will ask questions. Is this Nibbana?
then how can the mind become aware? It already start to wanting to know, understand? Whether I am in this state, whether I am in this jnana or that jnana. That's why the mundane mind, which doesn't understand all this, will keep on creating ideas, creating the technique, the meditation, the views and the opinion. Then later on this website, you know what happened? They got so interested in the word upasa. You know what is upasa? Nimitta, understand? Nimitta can see light. Not the Japanese word upasana. Upasana is different. This is upasa. Then somebody tell them, I think one of them who understand, hey, this is not the meditation that can lead you to the wisdom. They didn't even know that the nimitta is taught this. They know it's 1.5 Hindu meditation, the 40 meditation object and all those. So one of them had learned that. Then a few more after being alerted, or they also probe the monk's method. The monk's method, they call it tranquil one, there are two words. I forgot it. He used two words. Tranquility and wisdom, I think, these two words. So his method, they define as his method, is tranquility and insight go together. They call it the twin meditation. So everybody starts to cite that one. Then that one, they say, it's also a jhana. But not the energy field. That one is awareness jhana, we call it. Because it also have the jhanic factor, understand? So they try to mesh the sutta. They try to mesh the sutta. So now, there's the reason why even SBS and our local Buddhist group, there is a lot of new, what they call workshops. On the two types of jhana, you realize that? Have you all heard about it? SBS, Kumara, they all, every time talk about it. Everywhere they go, they talk about the two types of jhana. They even have workshops to discuss it. So now there are two schools. One is the awareness jhana, the other one is the absorption, concentration jhana. Forget about the word, just do. Then you will understand. Silent awareness. If this is clear, then I will move on. Then the rest are easy to understand. Okay, the first email, second last line. It also says that when light comes from all directions, consciousness becomes non-manifestative. So this one, under the Thursday class, I explained before. So let's say light coming from all directions. What does it mean? The light coming from all directions is to tell you one. All of the external, they return to this point, understand? Light from all directions means they return to this point. So when they return to this point, what happens? It will sit there, understand? That's why it becomes non-manifestative. So this is how the sutta is trying to explain, using words to explain things that cannot be explained. So this non-manifestative consciousness is actually the pure awareness. Because it doesn't manifest, it's just awareness. But this is not Nibbana, that's not. But this is the supramundane consciousness. You understand the two different? No, the consciousness is so mundane. Means without delusion really. That's why the enlightened being got a consciousness. Understand or not? The four pairs of being, they are conscious beings. Understand or not? They also manifest consciousness. But that consciousness is a super mundane. But there is no nibbana. Nibbana, the pure awareness, also sees it. You understand? So that one.
Okay. Got more, huh? It's okay. Just leave it there. Yeah. If it's recorded, leave it there. Thank you.
So you understand? One is the consciousness of enlightened being. They call it the supramundane consciousness. That one got citta. Understand? But no avijja. You understand? But the first stage, second stage, third stage, still got avijja, but very little. But based on their enlightenment, let's say sotapanna, the first three factors gone. So the supramundane consciousness is without the first three factors. Understand? That's why it's called a supramundane consciousness, because it is without the self-delusion. Then later on, sensual desire, you will attenuate, then rooted out. Then after that, the third anagami state, they got five more fetters. Understand? So once that five also gone, then they reach the arahant state. But all these enlightened beings, the four pair, they manifest consciousness. That's why it's called the supramundane consciousness. You understand? But when they realize cessation, and when you do the nibbanic state, it can be a glimpse for more sainthood way, or it can be a cessation for a fairly long time, for arahant and all those things. That state is not a consciousness. You understand? Then nibbana is cessation of form and mind, even the pure awareness also ceases. It like a return to the source. Understand? Return to the unconditioned, the oneness. So this one is the real enlightenment. This one is the first pure awareness that come out. This one is the that nature, just aware. It cannot come out because this one is not a living thing. It's not an entity, but it is capable of awareness. It's just aware. Its primordial nature is just away. Finish. So from here, it can manifest consciousness. Understand? Because this pure awareness is actually very pure state of mind consciousness. We call it the pure awareness of pure consciousness. That's why this sea is pure. Before the content went in. And from here, this one, it is a totally new understanding. Only those who cultivate the Bodhisattva way, they understand what this is. And they understand how this will return to realize enlightenment, the source. So all these stages, you need to develop wisdom and understanding. Otherwise, not easy. That's why the whole of meditation, not what people think. A lot of people are playing with the mundane mind, thought-based meditation, doing a lot of things. That's why method, technique, object of meditation, then vipassana, jhana, or whatever. All are for my mind, thought-based. The real one is when you understand the big picture, then you know how to return the phenomenal world to the mundane mind. Then this mundane mind, when you cease it, it will return to the pure awareness. By the time it returns, means you have developed the wisdom already. Otherwise, this one cannot cease. You understand? But this mundane mind comes about through ignorant, delusion, avijja. The moment is without avijja, this one ceases. You understand? Because avijja paccaya sankhara, no more sankhara, what happened? Mandeya mai cease. Then you return to this. When you return to this, you continue to relax and silent, the trust. This one bring you back to the gateway. That one go in, it will develop the awareness and the consciousness to a higher level where your wisdom can reach the level where the cessation can be very strong. That's how you will realize Nibbana. It's not the sainthood way. The sainthood way one is fairly easy. The sainthood way, the moment you hit the silent mind, you can have glimpses of it. You can even become either a Sotapan, Sakadagami, or Anagami, or even an Arahant. But to go beyond, to understand what is behind all this, you need to go the Bodhisattva way. Because that is the one that cultivate extensively to penetrate and realize all Dhamma, means all wisdom. And the perfection of virtue, wisdom, of all the ten perfection that you need to perfect. That one is a very extensive one. And that one you will know how to come. Understand? You will know how to develop the understanding of the form and mind, knowing that it's karmically conditioned. So you will take care of karma. Every life you come, you take care of karma. Then you make your vow. Then the vow, through the mundane condition, will bring about a form and mind. But this form and mind is not born out of ignorance. You understand? It comes because of the vow. Your first vow. Love and compassion. And what is love and compassion? This love and compassion is true virtue, understand? Pure thought, understand? Without evil root. So these are pure virtue. For you to come to the existential world through karma, you need a mind. So this is the pure mind. Born of wisdom. So this mind, take birth, understand, is not avijja. Because of your vow, born of love and compassion, this pure mind take conception in the form of mind. That's why they are not born out of avijja. It's just like arahant. If they don't go the bodhisattva way, they cease, finish. The whole entity erased, no more. Their karmic nature can still be there, but they cannot come back because there is no more condition for the form and mind to arise again. Whereas the bodhisattva, they know how to cultivate the vow, they know how to arise the love and the compassion, and through the vow, they will create condition for this pure mind to take conception. That's why when they come, they come different. They don't come out of ignorance. But initially, when you go the bodhisattva way, when you have not developed the extent of understanding, then you still take noble birth, understand? Where you haven't touched the sainthood way. And even those who touch the sainthood way, they will still be rebirth until you hit the arahant and beyond. But because you have taken the vow, chances are when you hit arahant, you won't end. You will have the condition to come back, because that vow already taken its effect. And it will set the condition. And with your affinity with all the other great beings, and the right view that you have, life after life, and the determination to understand all this, it will pave the way for you to continuously having the ability to come back. That's why all Sammasambuddha, even Sakyamuni Buddha, four world cycle, his is the wisdom way, the shortest.
And you think for four world cycles, he come back as what? He come back as a bodhisattva, you know. Now he's an enlightened being, you know, with all this understanding. That's why he can perfect himself. And that is how it's done. That's why a lot of people don't have the understanding. They don't know what all this is all about. So living beings are trapped mainly within the mundane mind and the phenomenal. Here, a big chunk. That's why I say 99.9999% all here. The enlightened being that can understand all this are very rare. Very rare. Very, very rare. Here, less than 0.0000, don't know how many zero, then only the one appear. Percent. Okay? Okay, now we can move forward. Dhamma greeting to all. Without content, I render Sabbato Pabha Vinyanang as this one. I think he looked it up from the Pali dictionary. That Pali word, Sabba is all. To Pabha means all, completely, entirely, from every side and in every respect. They put in the rear the word radiating or radiant. Then you realize the mind, what did he put there? Bracket. It's non-consciousness, not consciousness. Understand? Non. Because that one, the pure awareness, is just an awareness. If you want to define consciousness without anything as pure consciousness, then you can use the word pure consciousness. Understand? Otherwise, it's just an awareness. It's not a consciousness at all. It's just an awareness. Pure consciousness means that awareness without content. The moment it's with content, it becomes vijnana. Understand? Vijnana is a fine aggregate already. Vijnana is actually the fine aggregate of form and mind, which is your thought. That's why they use the word citta to differentiate. You remember at the retreat I used to share with you? So there is this word, vijnana. Then there is word citta. This vijnana appear underwear. Underwear. So this one is the four aggregates of mind. Under the four aggregates of mind, the last one. The last one. The four aggregate of mind is what? Vedana. Vedana. Samo. Sanya. Sankara. And Vinyana. So you realize this word, Vinyana, appear under here. So this one he defined as the pure consciousness. Understand? This one is not the content. This is, I always say, like a receptacle. Receive all these three. These three are actually one. Because vijnana, feeling, and perception is part of sankhara. That's why it's total 52. And the Buddha separate these two out. Well, these two are very important. I have explained to you all. Well, this Vedana, you have to develop the four foundations of mindfulness. You have to be aware of feeling. Then when feeling is pure feeling, no avijja, means there is wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Yoniso manasikara. Then feeling remains as pure feeling. Otherwise, feeling will stir and become craving.
Vedana Paccaya Tanha. Then perception is the one, the aggregate that brings the external form into the mind. That's why it's important. He separates it out. That's why this one brings in the form. Sanya. So this under the Pali word is supposed to be the pure consciousness, the receptacle that receives the content. You understand? This one is just the consciousness that receives this tree as the content. These are the content of consciousness. This one is the receptacle. Vijnana. This citta is what? This citta is your thought, understand? Your five aggregate. So this citta is your thought. Five mental aggregates of form and mind. Means this one is consciousness and its content. This one is consciousness plus its content. So this consciousness is this vijnana. Content here is this tree. Feeling, perception, and sankhara. That's why they use this word to differentiate. So the vijnana that they use is man for the consciousness part. What can your mind do? Your mind can feel, can perceive, can arise, mental activity, mental state, thinking, mental intention, everything, and become conscious of things. Understand? Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So this is the consciousness part, vijnana. And these are the content. That's why under your four foundation of mindfulness, your third foundation is what? Citta nupassana. The Buddha say, when the content of consciousness has greed, what must you do? You must be aware. He never say, vijnana nupassana. Understand? He said, citta nupassana means content of consciousness. But this is the whole thought. That's why people cannot differentiate between these two. And this is what your thought is all about. Before the content is pure awareness. Pure awareness. Just pure awareness. But this word always come with what they call always come with the content. So that's why I also don't prefer this word. Well, this word always come with the content. The other word for mind is what? Mano. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Always there. Mano. Mind is the foreign object. You know what is mano? That's why the Buddha is very precise. Mano means mind. Understand? And this mind is all of your mind. Your true mind, your mundane mind, your supramundane mind. They are all under that word. That's why mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chi. Where mind arises, everything comes to be. So these three words, if you don't meditate, if you don't know what they are, you cannot understand. They remain as words. Then you look up all the commentary, you look up all the sutta, you become more confused. Because the translator who translate also don't know what they are. But most of them
tend to follow what the sutta say, and what has been popularly accepted. That's why it's not easy to actually understand the real teaching. The real teachings are like over the years, lost. You know why I say lost? It's just like science and technology. If the scientist has developed certain understanding or breakthrough, what will happen to science and technology? They will progress, isn't it? Become more and more advanced, like what we are seeing now, isn't it? Yeah, there's a lot of breakthroughs there. So if what has been taught at the time of the Buddha is still what is being taught now, like science and technology, there will be a lot of enlightened beings there. But why are we not having so? And certain books even write, you can hardly even find a sotapan. And people believe this type of thing. So what has happened is, over the years, because when the Buddha started, there was no recorder. There was no recording. There was no words, writing. So they cannot commit to writing. They cannot commit to recording. So what do they do? They use oral. Understand? Oral transmission. Not mind to mind. Oral transmission. Like I pass you a message, then you pass to the next 10 person. You know what happened to the message? Tell me you know. Hey, you go and tell Engbi. These are the things that I teach you. By the time you reach Engbi, it depends on how many percent still get understand. Let's say she understands 70%. Then that 70% become rojak already, 30% gone already. Then he pass it on to Engbi. Then Engbi may be very good, understand 90% of what she say, but the rojak also went in. Then when she pass on, I tell you, when it reach the third or the fourth, totally different. I think a lot of people have played that game before. They just ask you to read the passage, then after that, take it back, then you pass it to the next one. Then by the time the tenth one, totally different. Wait. Pass the mic to Engbi.
They have time limit for purposely for you not to remember what the message were. So if oral transmission is through group chanting,
that one I agree.
Very few mistakes.
That one I agree.
But not passed down one by one.
Correct. That's why. That part I agree. I have mentioned that before. It's like our school song. Never go wrong. After 60 years, my school 100 over years already, and I graduated from there when I was very young, since primary school. So the school song, we never forget one, and the wording never get double up. Every week you sing. So through oral is a very good way of preserving the word. But the explanation of the word is gone. That's why I say the main problem is the commentary. Who are the one who comment? The commentator. And during the time of the Buddha, do you realize that there were so many enlightened disciples, enlightened beings? Then how come after the passing away of the Buddha, more and more problems, more and more division, more and more argument, then more and more split. Understand? Then you have Theravada, you have Mahayana, then you have Vajrayana. Then within every of these sects, they subdivide some more. Then they attach to one. Teacher, method, technique, and all the various so-called practices of meditation. Then they come out with all the fantastic words, vipassana, jhana, inside knowledge, jnana, and process. So it completely creates more and more division and misunderstanding.
So when these things are passed down, the lucky thing is the chanting preserves a lot of the original teaching. Means the original Pali words are very accurate. That's why when this line, this line when my nature came, do you know what I found interesting or not? The Pali Sutta, the original one, they are very beautiful. And I understand those words not from books one. All these books, they interpret, they translate, most of them are not accurate. But those words, you have to realize it to understand, like the Pali word, like Sankara. That's why I dare to tell you what Sankara is. And all this differentiation of this Pali word, I don't study Pali, I don't know Pali. But because when I read the sutta, some of these Pali words, like anicchang, dukkang, anatta, sabba, papasa, I know a few of these words, but it's enough for me to understand what they are, because the nature that I realize don't need much words, understand? It will understand what that thing is. That's why even vedana, sanya, sankara, and the word vijnana is not easy. And even the word anicchang, dukkang, anatta. And even all the greed, hatred, and delusion. Loba, dosa, and moha. So a lot of these Pali words, luckily they are being passed down and preserved. That's why when I started the sharing, when Yun Chan came to see me and invited me out, the year 2004, she asked me, Brother Teo, I think after a few sessions, is it, they wanted Dhamma. So he wanted me to talk on Dhamma, not general topic. Year 2004 was a tsunami. Remember? That major tsunami that hit Asia. During that time, we were discussing general topic. Then after three sharing or what, they find it interesting, they ask for Dhamma topic. So Yun Chan asked me, what topic? Then I look at the Vipassana Center, there is one poster, where the five ascetic with the Buddha. I say, start with this. And I know this is the first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Yun Chan said, that would be very good. The Buddha also start with that. Then I said, you got any book on that? I said, I haven't read the Sutta. She looked at me. You haven't read the Sutta, you want to teach the Sutta. So he said, don't worry, I get you the chanting book. The Thai version. Luckily, the English translation not too bad. That one, not too bad. But quite a number also run. But quite authentic. And because I know some Pali word, so I know where they went wrong. That's why after that, I used that to teach. Then when I saw the tree turning, my nature understand what that tree turning is. Nobody taught me. Then I can link to the three types of wisdom. Sutamaya Panya, Chittamaya Panya, and Bhavanam Maya Panya. In the Sutta, it's never mentioned. The three types of wisdom that come with the tree turning. And because of my nature's understanding, I understand what the Buddha was trying to teach during that time. That's why he explained it. Not until he himself, as a Bodhisattva at that time, understood the Four Noble Truths in its tree turning on the 12 mode, he cannot proclaim to be the Sammasambuddha. That shows how important the Four Noble Truths are. That's why all this, if you don't have recording without the explanation, these are only words. You know what are words, subject to interpretation. Understand? So it is subject to interpretation, how? That's why I say, don't quote me. Because when you quote me, you end up like what they are doing last time. Unless you understand what I share, then you can quote. You can express it, you can explain it, no problem. But if you cannot understand, you quote the Buddha, which is the highest authority, and you use it to argue with people, what will happen? He straight away opening statement. The Buddha never said that. The Buddha said this. And what she tell you is actually his interpretation of what the Buddha say, understand? The words from the Buddha are correct, but he interpret it wrongly. At that part, he cannot understand. That's why when I meet people who quote the Buddha, I say, okay, it's okay. I think you are right. Right according to you, understand? No point, because you are trying to argue. You are not having a frank discussion to understand, to develop understanding. If you want to be right, then the discussion will not materialize. It will fail, because the intent is different. But if you are sincere, then I can explain things. Then it's up to you. You have no right, no wrong. Have an open mind. You can understand, is it helpful, use it. If you cannot understand, to you not helpful, then just let things be. We respect each other for what we are. Your understanding, my understanding, we share. That's it. That's why I have the three conditions before I come up with knowingly that these are the probability of conflict, misunderstanding. That's why I set the three conditions to avoid all this unnecessary misunderstanding and conflict. Okay, then we read on. Sabbatopabha is only found three times in all the sutta. Then he used the word not much a. And it's only found once in connection with Vijnana. That's the fourth section of the 11th sutta of the longer discourse, the Kevata Sutta. So it has to be from this simile of the land spotting bird. It's an interesting sutta, including a funny conversation between a monk and the great Brahma. So the monk Kevata wonder where all the matter or elements that ever come into being, means Buddha, Puba, comes to an end or cease, Nirujati. Since he knew how to visit the Devas and the Brahmarai, he went there to ask the Devas and Brahmas and the rulers of the Devas and God. But no one knew the answer, and they all sent him to the higher rhyme beings, telling him they should know. So for 14 times he moved on through all the rhymes, until he met the highest one, the great Brahma. And this is the Mahabrahma. You remember the Deva rhyme? How many Deva rhyme? Six. No, Deva is six. Brahma is 16. So he went through the six Deva rhyme. Then after that, he total went to 14. Remember? So which means he must have gone up another 8. So he met the great Brahma. But like all the others before him, the great Brahma also had to admit that he does not know the answer. He told the monk that he should go and ask the Buddha. You know why this Mahabrahma asked him to ask the Buddha? Because according to the sutta, another part of the sutta, the Buddha actually went up and meet up with this Mahabrahma, where he claimed to be the creator. Among the Hindu gods, he is supposed to be the creator. He is like the highest. And the Buddha went up there and shared with him, and finally able to convince him that if you don't continue with your cultivation, you can fall back and become a normal human being again. That you make mistake, you can go down to the four apaya, he said. That's why he remembered the Buddha's word. Then he told him to return and ask the Buddha. So here, the next paragraph, if you ask me, this cessation of matter, means the four elements, takes place with the cessation of perception, feeling, and consciousness. This part is very beautiful. And he quoted, that's what the Buddha said in the last verse before he left him. You know what is cessation of perception, feeling, and
consciousness. Means the whole of the mundane mind sees. You realize that? Perception, feeling, and consciousness. So consciousness mind that is invisible, vijnana, anidasana, then infinite, radiant aura, anatta, sabbato, pabha. Here's where water and earth, fire and air, means the four elements, find no footing. Here is where the duality, long and short, fine and coarse, beautiful and ugly. Here is where name and form, means the five aggregate, cease with nothing left over. With the cessation of consciousness, vijnanasa nirodhena. That's when this cessation diseases. Means etetang uparujati. Here is the entire conversation. So they repeated it. Then that medically, as easily as a strong person would extend or contract their arm, vanish from the Brahma realm and reappear in front of the Buddha. Then he bowed, sat down on one side and said to the Buddha, "Sir, where do the four primary elements cease without anything, without any level, namely the elements of earth, water, fire, and air?" Then they talk about the simile of the land spotting bird. This one is very, very interesting. When he said this, the Buddha said to him, "Once upon a time, medically, some sea merchant set sail for the ocean deep, taking with them a land spotting bird." Means this bird tried to look for land. When their ship was out of sight of land, they released the bird. It flew right away to the east, to the west, the north, the south, the upward, and in between. If it saw land on any side, it went there and stayed. But if he saw no land on any side, it returned to the ship. In the same way, after failing to get an answer to all these questions, even after searching as far as the Mahabrahmarine, you have returned to me," the Buddha said. "This is not how the question should be asked." The Buddha even corrected his question. Because he asked the question, "Yes, sir, where do these four elements cease without anything left over, namely the earth element, the water element, the fire element, and air?" You know, why is this question wrong? You read again. Where does these four elements cease? These four elements don't cease, understand now? Because it is the mundane mind that creates. Mundane mind sees, understand now? That's why he says, four elements find no footing. The Buddha corrected him. Because this one is not the mundane mind. The four elements are not the mundane mind. Then the Buddha advised him, "This is how the question should be asked. Where do the water, earth, fire, and air find no footing?" That's why he never say the four elements cease. That's why he's so precise. Where do long and short, fine and coarse, beautiful and ugly, where do name and form? See, when it comes to name and form, what did the Buddha say? He used the word cease, because form and mind, mundane mind. With nothing left over. Means the pure awareness also no more. And the answer to that is consciousness that is invisible, infinite, radiant all around. Here's where water and earth, fire and air find no footing. Here's where long, short, fine and coarse, beautiful and ugly. Here is where the form and mind ceases with nothing left over. With the cessation of consciousness, That's where this ceases. That's why the mundane mind must cease. That's the reason why the enlightenment of the Buddha is Nibbana. Okay, then we turn to the next page. Next page is quite interesting because this one is written by another person who has some form of meditative understanding. This one can also help you to understand slightly better, easier. Dhamma greeting all, he says. Just to add to below, maybe a bit more analytical in nature, but hope this motivates us to cultivate more to realize this wonderful state. He knew when you do the meditative training correctly, you can experience all these beautiful mind states. He said, consciousness and mind are two different things. See? He straight away differentiates. Just the true mind is not consciousness. There is a sutta that say mind in its pure state is luminous and bright. Then the next sentence you have to be careful. This one will help you understand. Six consciousness are the layers on top of mind that start to cloud it and also manifesting. What are these six consciousness? This one is the mundane mind, from your senses, the six type of sense or consciousness. So that's why this is the one that layer over your true mind. Layer on top of mind. That starts to cloud it and also manifest things. This is the magician. The Buddha called this consciousness as a magician's trick, which manifests things for those who are untrained in the Dhamma. Thus the mind that is no more attached with the six consciousness is radiant all around. Sabbato Pabama. Non-manifestative, anidasana, and endless, anatta. These states of perfection of mind is also called the pinnacle of wisdom and is experienced by arahant after all their defilements and fetters has been rooted out. But we may also experience some glimpses of such mind during twin practice. Glimpses means glimpses of cessation, anasana. Which can lead to sainthood way also. This is called twin practice, where they talk about tranquility, which is samatha, and insight. The Sutta Dīrgha Nikāya 11 contains very deep statement by the Buddha about the nature of consciousness that ordinary worldlings are accustomed to. And the consciousness of an arahant. Consciousness is much interlinked with our perception of the world and material things. The interrelationship between consciousness, see, he used the word vijnana, and namarupa, form and mind, is the deepest point in the chain of dependent origination, co-arising. This combination, also called vortex or whirlpool, or tangle, vata. Vata is the wheel of life. Where we are stuck from the beginningless time. Means the first thought of ignorance. We recognize the form, material form, or the four great elements by mentally formulating a name for each characteristic of form with the help from the sense or consciousness. Craving comes into picture here too, which teaches form and mind, while ignoring consciousness that is the link between the two. This is not the big craving that follows after a feeling, but of a more subtle form that arises as long as sankhara or formation, preparation arises, and craving. Greed, hatred, and delusion is the maker of enmeshment that defines things as long and short, big and small, beautiful and ugly, means the duality. When the mind is free from craving or delusion, craving born of delusion, the sixth consciousness also sees, and along with it, the notion of long and short, etc., also sees. Consciousness is one of the nutrients for maintenance of being. And as long as we have the notion of our atta or self, means that element, the physical form, solidity. The consciousness are not free from their bond to the form and mind. The Buddha states that mind, consciousness that is free from name and form, is where the four great elements find no footing. So he is not saying that an objective world does not exist at all, but inferring that when the mind is released from consciousness to establish on name and form, the notion of form no more find any ground. So the Buddha's answer to the question was, when the sixth sense consciousness sees all the notion of form, etc., also sees. Quantum mechanics actually has proven that observation. We think that forms are actually something really existing and are defined by space and time. That was why that bhikkhu went up as far as Brahmarai to find where the element sees and if there is any boundary. But as we know now, that space and time are not really truly existing things, independent of sense or consciousness. They are there when mind is pulled by the sixth sense consciousness. Cosmology are now saying that space may actually be infinite, and there may be infinite number of universes. This kind of speculation or theory about the universe can go on forever. A wise person does not get involved with such thinking, but make an effort to understand what the limit of consciousness is and how they fit within the reality that is made of the impersonal process of dependent co-arising. That word very important. Dependent co-arising. So the bottom line is, we really need to cultivate the complete Noble Eightfold Path to develop the wisdom and reach the state of mind that is free from all tangles. Then the last page. Dhamma greeting, Indu. I'm way too late reading this, but you did a great job with this, Indu. I'm curious to hear. Did anyone talk about co-joint condition of perception, feeling, and consciousness in their conversation as discussed by Majjhika Nikaya 43? This one is by the nun, Sister Kema, who assists the monk. Then this person replied on behalf of Indu. Dhamma greetings, Sister Kema. Good to see you back after long. I did not notice the mention of Majjhika Nikaya 43 in our discussion, but it is indeed a very important statement. Feeling, perception, and consciousness are co-joined, not disjoined, and it is impossible to separate one from another. So this makes it even clearer that dependent origination is not strictly a serial process of 12 links following each other like a domino slab, one hitting another, and so on. That's why at the retreat, you remember, I told you, it's not single-dimensional. It's multi-dimensional. So this guy actually, he realized. Another very interesting statement in this sutta is consciousness, which is vijnana, and wisdom are co-joined, not disjoined. I had a good insight into the two while I was sitting a few weeks ago. I'm quoting my notes below. Not sure if this makes sense to you. So what he is trying to tell him is, when you have developed the understanding, you look at this part. He said wisdom and the mundane consciousness, they are co-joined. That's the reason why I used to tell you all, especially Yun Chan in the early days, you cannot learn wisdom. Wisdom is whether you have it or you don't have it. When you have it, means you have it. You don't have it, means you don't have it. So what is happening is, at the dependent origination, twirling, they always tell you to cut at. Cut at? Feeling is there. Why? Because feeling conditions craving. If I got no craving, I won't attach. I let go. I free. The reality is not like that. Because as long as there is avijja, without wisdom, at the moment of consciousness, what happened is, like the physics experiment, you remember? Upon contact, what happened? The light bulb lights up. Okay. So upon contact, not only feeling arise, you understand? The whole consciousness arise. That's why what the Buddha say is, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness initially, understand now. Then you input the content. And what is the content? Simultaneously, the seven universal went in. Understand? That's why not only feeling. That's why the first link already have this. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Ignorant contact at the first link because of avijja, understand now. It creates mental activity. You understand? So when it creates mental activity, what happens? Mental activity means the mind starts to think, understand? The mind makes contact with the mind. So the moment the mind makes contact, it creates mental consciousness. You understand? Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana. This is the mental consciousness. Understand? Then vijnana paccaya. What is nama rupa? Nama rupa is the thought, the five mental activity of form. Here the content went in. Understand? That's why the content went in, it becomes the five mental aggregate of form and mind. This is how it happened. And this is not linear. At here, this point, there is already contact. Understand? Because without contact, this avijja cannot trigger off thinking. Your mind is a sense organ. Then once this one starts to create mental activity, sankhara, it makes contact with the mind, understand? Every time it thinks, it makes contact. So it's like it makes contact. Then the mental consciousness come out. This is the mental consciousness. This is mental consciousness. When the mental consciousness comes out, this is what the Buddha meant by in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. No one to see yet. You understand? But the moment this one arrives, it will condition nama-rupa. Form and mind together with its content. This is the thought. Then when there is form and mind, what happens? Salayatana, understand? Because dependent on form and mind, there must be six senses, sense bases. No six sense bases, form and mind cannot arise. You understand? That's why all the citta cannot arise. It must have this. That's why the sense bases, dependent on sense bases, there is contact. Actually, contact appear here, appear there. Then upon contact, it's not craving, not linear. Upon contact, even here, the seven universal went in. Here, the seven universal also went in. That's why this guy know. Then when you don't have wisdom, it become what? Ayoniso
manasikara. Means at the moment of contact, the sense door consciousness that arise, the content of consciousness, that feeling cannot remain as pure feeling, that there is no wisdom. And no wisdom means it will condition craving. You cannot cut. You need wisdom to free. And wisdom don't cut. The moment there is wisdom, it's not deluded, it's not confused, it will not hold. It will not cling. That's why you don't have to let go. Understand? That's why if you have wisdom, he say, when wisdom is co-joined with the consciousness, what happens is it is not deluded by the phenomenal world. It's not deluded by the sense door consciousness. So when it arises with the wisdom, yoniso manasikara, feeling remain as pure feeling. It will not be conditioned into craving. That's how the chain cannot go on. The mind cannot stir anymore. The mind cannot get angry anymore. The mind got no more delusion. That's why it does not get deceived or conditioned into various mind states. Understand? So this is the meaning of all this dependent origination teaching. And the understanding of it is not easy. That's why only those who meditate, like this guy, he know. He know they are co-joined. It's not a single dimensional. That's why when I read this, I know this guy not bad. This Indu guy, I don't know, Indian or what. The name is Indu, I-N-D-U. Then after that, I wrote to Ingrid after the last Sunday class, 30th July. I said, dear Sister Ingrid, following your request at our yesterday Wuping Ching's Sunday Dhamma class, I am pleased to forward here with the email relating to the Sutta, Kevata Sutta, where the four elements find no footing, as per your request. This sutta is very interesting and beautiful. To a certain extent, it is able to explain what the realization of Nibbana, or state of realization, where the four elements find no footing is. Then after that, I asked Envy to help. Can you help print out this Kevata Sutta and this email for our sharing? So the sutta came out to be 9 pages. Then I read through, not much use, only the last part is relevant. That's why I told Ingi, never mind, forget about the sutta, we only print the email. So, this is what we went through. So I hope with this understanding, it will help you to develop the clear understanding. Yes. Remind me to explain to you all why the Kevatamama asked this question.
At this Vijnana is a mental consciousness without its content. That means it's a pure Vijnana.
In the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. That is what the Buddha said. So this is just the mental consciousness. Understand? The content hasn't gone in yet.
It's not the receptacle, just now you mentioned.
You can say it's the receptacle. Because it's just that consciousness. You have not associated with that seeing or hearing.
Because the first factor is avijja, so ignorance already inside the consciousness, mental consciousness. You must understand that.
This one goes in here. This sankhara is the one with the avijja. But then after that, this fellow makes contact with the mind. Then at the first instant when it makes contact with the mind, it's the pure consciousness. Understand? Then you input the content. Here, avijja will still be there if he's not an enlightened being. If there is no wisdom connected. So this one still have avijja. Understand? Oh, sorry, nama rupa. Still have avijja. So when this one have avijja, the sense bases will trigger contact, then feeling, then craving. It will go on. So this one is the pure consciousness.
what I'm trying to say, this must have avijja also, because it's
depend.
Can be and cannot be.
No, you see, sometimes, if you are mindful enough, you have this ability to be aware. At that moment, there is no content. No content means what? No kusala, no akusala. You haven't put in your determining consciousness. You haven't put in your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. It's just that consciousness. That's what I say. You remember what I tell you or not? When your daily mind is very stable, you can be at the moment of feeling. It doesn't move. You can be at the moment of perception. You can just perceive the thing. It doesn't move. It can be at the moment of sankara. What you want to think, what the mind want to be aware, what emotion want to come out, you can be with it. And you can be at the moment of consciousness, just like consciousness. Like the Buddha said, seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, just like that. That's why I told you, when you are in that state of mindfulness, very stable, your hearing, seeing, everything is in the state of sthiti, aware, specific phenomenal awareness. It's with the thing. Not linked at all. It's one with the thing. The consciousness means you aware. The consciousness and the seeing consciousness is one. The hearing consciousness and the awareness as one. Means everything is in sthiti. So that one, only enlightened being can do. Means no thought leading to no mind, leading to no dwelling.
Hindu was saying consciousness coexists with wisdom.
He has done until that part. Okay. Otherwise, he cannot tell you that.
Wisdom is actually part parcel of the sati.
No. What he's trying to tell you is either you are here connected to this, or this one arrives through ignorance. Means the consciousness is with the content, co-joined with the content. The content can be wise or unwise. Yoniso or a yoniso. Because it's co-joined. Consciousness must have its content to be in the mundane conscious world. Within the mundane world, you must have its content. This form of mind not enlightened yet. So this one will always have its content. But when you are from here, the direct seeing, you doesn't involve the content. The awareness is just aware, and it can insight into whatever, and the phenomena would awaken the true mind. It just understand. It's like you say, insight into the three universal characteristics, impermanence, something. You understand. It just trigger off. That nature understand. Oh, no wonder everything is like that. Dependent originating, condition arising, cause of not, then lead to suffering. Empty, non-self. Oh, you understand. Through that silent mind, it just awakened. But you can only do this when you have straightened your view. When you know the five aggregate of form and mind is not you. Otherwise, you cannot. Where it goes through in stages. Thank you. You see, just now I asked you to remind me, why does the monk Kevata ask this question? Why did he take the trouble to go until the Brahma Rai? Because he knew, as long as the four elements find its footing, what will happen to him? Means his form and mind will continue to come back, understand? He will continue to take birth, understand? And he wants to know how to end this. Because he meditated until he realized, I think he got psychic. He can see how people take birth. And he realized every time the four elements come back. So the only way to free is where this four elements, he used the word cease. The four elements cannot cease. You know why? Duality cannot cease. Why? Duality exists within the conditioned world. How can it cease? Duality created by the mundane mind. But when the mundane mind sees with the wisdom, then duality sees. So the correct question should be where the four elements find no footing, but the form and mind sees. Understand? Because the four elements is created by the five aggregate of form and mind. Without avijja, karmically condition out the five aggregate of form and mind, they cannot come to this condition world. Because of avijja, they come. Except for bodhisattva. They don't need avijja to come. But they got no more delusion. When they die, there is no rebirth consciousness. So how to come? You need a mind. That mind has to be the pure mind. Born of love and compassion, the vow. Otherwise, you cannot come. And this one, where the people teach you, you can read the book also, they never write. The people has not gone through the cultivation. They don't understand what these things are. Okay? That's why I find this sutta very interesting. This Kevata guy, not bad. So finally, he was directed back to see the Buddha. Then the Buddha told him the answer. But the sutta never mentioned whether he became enlightened or not. The sutta never mentioned. I think the sutta also did mention he rejoiced. Didn't know. That's why, in a way, I also don't know what this monk did after that. But it was mentioned in the sutta because such things did happen during the time of the Buddha. So you all hear this thing like very interesting, that Kevata monk. He like moving his arm like there, he can go to all the right. Flexing your hand. It's like when you astral traveling. One instant you are there, then one instant you come back. All these are psychic. But inside the sutta, I think we didn't. You go and read yourself. I think when AB sent to me. You know what is mentioned there, no? He told the Buddha that he has met all these Brahma, all those things with the psychic one. They got this type of psychic power. They can read mind, they can like travel through space, cross-legged, they can go underneath the ground, go through wall, everything. You know what the Buddha told him? No use one. He said the last one is most important. What? Gift of instruction. Gift of instruction to free people's mind. That is the important one. Where he said, if you were to tell this that you told the Buddha, told him, if you were to tell all these things that you told me to somebody who don't believe, you know what he will say? He said, that guy has a charm that makes him has the ability to do all this. So what's the use? He don't believe. So if he don't believe to trust you, he said, this guy must have a charm. Magic. Then the second one is what? You can manifest many. One is the psychic, the other one is what? I forgot it. There are two things. No, three is the last one is instruction. Instruction to free the mind, to teach people. You open up Chiao, I think it's there. I have a drink. You read. Pass the mic.
The Buddha told the monk Kevata, said, there are these three miracles that I have declared, having directly known and realized them for myself. Which three? The miracle of psychic power, the miracle of telepathy, and the miracle of instruction.
Instruction.
Then you read the first one, the psychic power. No, immediately after that. Oh, okay. Slowly, now.
Okay, the miracle of psychic power. And what is the miracle of psychic power? There is a case where a monk wields manifold psychic powers. Having been one, he becomes many. Having been many, he becomes one.
Yes.
He appears, he vanishes. He goes unimpeded through walls, ramparts, and mountains as if through space. He dives in and out of the earth as if it were water. He walks on water without sinking as if it were dry land. Sitting cross-legged, he flies through the air like a winged bird. With his hand, he touches and strokes even the sun and moon. So mighty and powerful, he exercises influence with his body even as far as the Brahma world. Then someone who has faith and conviction in him sees him wielding manifold psychic powers, exercising influence with his body even as far as Brahma world. He reports this to someone who has no faith and no conviction, telling him, "Isn't it awesome? Isn't it astounding? How great the power, how great the prowess of this contemplative." Just now I saw him wielding manifold psychic powers, exercising influence with his body, even as far as the Brahma world. Then the person without faith, without conviction, would say to the person with faith and with conviction, "Sir, there's a charm called the Gandhari charm, by which the monk wielded manifold psychic powers, exercising influence with his body even as far as the Brahma world. What do you think, Kevata? Isn't that what the man without faith, without conviction, would say to the man with faith and with conviction? Yes, Lord, that's just what he would say. Seeing this drawback to the miracle of psychic power, Kevata, I feel ashamed, repelled, and disgusted with the miracle of psychic power."
So the Buddha explained very simple. You go to the third one, miracle of instruction. That one is useful.
The miracle of instruction. And what is the miracle of instruction? There is the case where monk gives instruction in this way. Direct your thought in this way. Don't direct it in that. Attend to things in this way and don't attend to them in that. Let go of this, enter and remain in that. This Kevata is called the miracle of instruction. Then there is the case where a Tathagata appears in the world, worthy and rightly self-awakened. He teaches the Dhamma admirable in its beginning, admirable in its middle, admirable in its end. He proclaims the holy life both in its particulars and in its essence, entirely perfect, surpassingly pure. A householder or householder's son, hearing the Dhamma, gains conviction in the Tathagata and reflects. Household life is confining. A dusty path. The life gone forth is like the open air. It is not easy living at home to practice the holy life totally perfect, totally pure, like a polished shell. What if I were to shave off my hair and beard, put on the orchard ropes, and go forth from the household life into homelessness? So after some time, he abandons his mass of wealth, large or small, leave his circle of relatives, large or small, shave off his hair and beard, put on the orchard ropes, and goes forth from the household life into homelessness. When he has thus gone forth, he lives restrained by the rules of the monastic code, seeing danger in the slightest faults. Consummate in his virtue, he guards the doors of his senses, is possessed of mindfulness and alertness, and is content. For details, please see DN2, Diga Nikaya 2. Abandoning the hindrances. Endowed with this noble aggregate of virtue, this noble restraint over the sense faculties, this noble mindfulness and alertness, and this noble contentment, he seeks out a secluded dwelling, a forest, the shade of a tree, a mountain, a glen, a hillside cave, a charnel ground, a forest grove, the open air, a heap of straw. After his meal, returning from his arms round, he sits down, crosses his legs, holds his body erect, and brings mindfulness to the fore. Abandoning covetousness with regard to the world, he dwells with an awareness devoid of covetousness. He cleanses his mind of covetousness, abandoning ill will and anger. He dwells with an awareness devoid of ill will, sympathetic with the welfare of all living beings. He cleanses his mind of ill will and anger, abandoning sloth and torpor. He dwells with an awareness devoid of sloth and torpor, mindful, alert, percipient of light. He cleanses his mind of sloth and torpor, abandoning restlessness and anxiety. He dwells undisturbed, his mind inwardly still. He cleanses his mind of restlessness and anxiety. Abandoning uncertainty, he dwells having crossed over uncertainty, with no perplexity, with regard to skillful mental qualities. He cleanses his mind of uncertainty. Then down there is supposing that a man taking a loan invests in his business.
Very good, thank you so much. So this is how the miracle of instruction is to be understood. Because this one is a lot more, I should say, better than all the other things that people crave for. Miracle of psychic ability. Miracle of telepathy and all those things. We have no use. Those who don't have faith will tell you that guy got a charmer or something that can do the magic, because they don't believe. Even if they believe, it doesn't mean with all this psychic you are enlightened. You are still subject to birth and death because you still have ignorance. You will still be bound by delusion. And the cycle of birth and death will continue. That's why the Buddha advised this kevata. He says the most important one is the miracle of instruction. Means if you instruct the noble disciple or the ordinary disciple to cultivate correctly, then they will understand and develop the wisdom, and their mind will have this wisdom that will enable them to liberate from the world of suffering. Then they will be able to be a blessing to all. They will have peace and all those things. Then he also teaches them how to cultivate by overcoming all the defilements, mental hindrances, especially the five mental hindrances and all those things. So all this can be
developed through proper understanding of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught. So this sutta is very useful, very beneficial too. Okay, now it's 5-something already. I didn't know so fast, 5:10. I think we skip meditation. Do you have any questions? Any questions with regards to all this? Some of these sutta, if you can develop the understanding and the faith, is very useful. But more important is to develop the clear understanding of the cultivation. Understand all this that I have shared with you clearly. Then when you cultivate, with understanding, it becomes very easy. And you will penetrate and understand all this teaching. Then you can realize the truth that the Buddha mentioned. The cessation, the awakening. Okay.
That means, I suddenly have this. What you have shared with us in the Katsuta short notes,
the small circle where you return to
actually appear in this sutta. The
Kevata. Oh, is it?
Because it said return to the light,
right? Correct.
Indirectly,
it's sadhu. Very good. That is
how
it happened. This one. All the light. All the light returned to the source. The true mind. Then it ceases. This is how it actually happened. But in the sutta, it just say all direction and all those things it returned.
Can be explained in the four circles.
Correct. If you understand what those Pali words are, it points towards all this. Understand? Because during the Buddha's time, I don't think our society is so evolved. Understand? Our society hasn't reached the level of evolution where there is enough of these words to describe mundane mind, phenomenal world, and all those things. Because during that time, things were very simple, understand? So that's why you realize his teaching, his teaching is very simple. I realize what the Buddha shared is very simple. He tried to describe to you what he understands at the mind level. That's why he used the three evil roots. Greed, hatred, and delusion. Then he explained them. I believe he must have explained them in many of the sutta. But all this cannot be committed to chanting. When you explain what greed is, how to commit to chanting? When you take refuge, you can. You renew your precept, you can. Then when you chant the various types of sutta, you can. But when he is explaining the five aggregate of form and mind, it cannot be in the form of chanting. It's just like what I used to share with you all. Maybe for some of you all haven't attended my class since I started coming out to share with people. 209, Thursday class 209. So you ask yourself, 209 to 218, 9 years, okay? Do you realize after 9 years, when we talk about five aggregate of form and maya, three evil roots, the five mental faculties, the five mental hindrances, we understand already. We don't have to go back and describe and from elementary to talk about it anymore. We straight away can actually share our understanding and discuss things.
Just imagine, the Buddha was with them, teaching them for 45 years. So to them, five aggregate of home and mind, greed, hatred, and delusion, although not English word at that time, maybe Pali word, loba, dosa, and moha, they understand it very clearly. Do you understand? That's why the sutta, when the Buddha repeat, he got to repeat, because it's through repeating that it can actually make them understand, because they got no writing. They got no recording. They cannot hear it again. So all this is oral transmission that has to be spoken under repetitive type of instruction. You read all the sutta, all the words are repeated, like your power of miracles, because the Buddha has to remind you many times, so that it goes in. Otherwise, it won't go in. That's why his teaching, you realize, is because at that era, it's like that. But now we are more lucky. We got writing. We got not only last time, the early years, I remember, tape recorder. The tape can go wrong or not. After a while, the thing can get jammed inside there, or get into trouble. Then sometimes, slow down. The recording slow down. Then sometimes, the speed too fast. So there were a few of these recordings. The whole thing shrink until because the speed, when something went wrong with the recorder. You cannot understand what is shared inside there. Until they manage to use the computer to slow down the speed. So they got this type of machine that can slow down. It's like slow motion. So they slow it down, and then you listen, then it come out. So some of the talk, we managed to get it out because of that. Then in between, there are also what they call technological help. Technological help in the sense that now you can actually video the thing. So the video helps a lot. Just the video, you can see him expressing it. Otherwise, you only listen. For example, our class, when I share, you all interact with me. We really understand what happened or not. But if you just listen to the recording, you are not from our class or not. I tell you, you liat boki one. You don't know what we are trying to share. Then sometimes why we laugh also you don't know. Understand? So you have to understand it from that aspect. During the Buddha's time, civilization was like that, thing was more backward, less evolved. That's why his teaching is all different. Then I realize now, with the modern civilization, with the advancement of technology, and even our expansion of vocabulary, grammar, and words, we came out with a lot of terminology that in the olden day don't have one. Especially now IT. All the IT term, AI, all those things, last time don't have one. You talk about handphone. They haven't even heard of telephone at that time. And during the Buddha's time, do you know there was no aeroplane? The White Brother started the aeroplane, very primitive, 1901. The Buddha was BC, just imagine the gap of technology and science. So a lot of things were not there. So now with all this, it's supposed to help you. But sometimes I realize not everybody is the same. To me, when I put it like that, to me, it's very clear already. What else do you want me to draw? Especially this triangle. I never expect I can explain consciousness and the cultivation in one triangle. I never expect. Then later on, when I drew it, I realized I can.
See, during the Buddha's time, he wear got whiteboard. He wear got pen. How can he draw? Everything is abstract, through verbal. If I don't have a whiteboard to draw, you think it's easy for you to understand? If today sharing, I don't have all this, you know, your brain has to work many times faster. Understand? There's no way you can understand. Even after I draw it out, it will take you a while. But those who cultivate very fast, they can follow. Then they go back, they just go through one more time, it will sink in. When it sinks in, means your understanding deepens. Without you knowing it, you are ready to receive truth later on. And the next time you listen to any of this, or anybody who understands the Dhamma, the moment he describes, he may use other words, you will know whether that guy understands or don't understand. You will know. Then you will be very precise. A lot of things, the word they use, appear like a lot of Dhamma, but not correct already. You will understand. Like all these words, it will stand out. Then what is mind? What is mundane mind? What is the discriminative mind? What are duality and all those things? Then the source. Then especially awareness. Pure awareness, the true mind. This one, you have to realize it. If you don't realize it, you cannot penetrate the Dhamma. You must realize the silent mind. Otherwise, it's all knowledge, I tell you. If you don't realize this, the silent mind, or the meditative mind, and from here you meditate, all of the things you understand is just knowledge, I can tell you. But if you've gone through this, then your understanding becomes totally different. This will give you a lot of understanding of what this true mind, silent mind, or meditative mind is. And this is the one that can allow you to insight into phenomena, and you will understand. Well, all this teaching come from the silent mind that has awakened. And this one, how it sees, depend on your wisdom. If your wisdom is very stable, then this cessation will happen. And it will happen for quite a while. But if it's just a glimpse, the same way, then the understanding according to that stage of sainthood is already been understood by the true mind, the nature. But the brain, the memory, or the thought still don't understand. That's why sometimes this thought will ask questions. Then you will try to commit to memory. When you do that, you cannot progress. You get stuck there. The moment you have a glimpse, the nature understanding, and this understanding, as long as this form of mind is there, it will never get lost. That's why the Buddha did mention, wisdom, you cannot lose it. The moment you understand means you understand. It's an understanding, it's an awakening. The moment the nature awakens to it, it's already there. It cannot get lost. You don't have to remember what it is. Because when the situation arrives, that understanding from inside will come out. That's why you act according to understanding. It's no more from the conditioning, the brain. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. Then I realize after my nature transform, I always act with understanding. I no more acting with fear, conditioning. I don't do the normal thing anymore. I do all unconventional, totally different from the world. Because you feel differently. Then today I receive one WhatsApp. You all heard of this Singapore guy? Jack Sim. Was it Jack Sim? Toilet one or something. He is a very cute guy. I think now he's about 59 or 60 years old. His study is useless. He failed very badly. Until he cannot go to college, he cannot go to you. And he was like a nobody. But he very determined.
Then he became so famous. He can start off the small project, because he believed in the people. As he mature, he tried a lot of things, he do a lot of things. Then he liked to collect ideas from experienced people, like retired people, vegetarian and all those things. Then he used the idea and he put it into action. Then he realized that it can help humanity, help mankind. And he started off with toilet. And he became so famous. A lot of president, head of state, prime minister, all invite him. All these people who want to win political election, they love him talk. You see, by telling his story, he get all their support, the fund, everything come. And he's a lone ranger. And now he got 5 star for him. And he's internationally very well recognized. You should go and listen to that video. And I like the last part he mentioned. He said, when you really understand life, there was one part. He finally become so famous, but he's not a university graduate. So what he did was, he applied to a university, and he went and study there at the age of 52 or one. Then he graduated. He studied part-time, supposed to be 2 years, he took 4 years to pass. 56 he passed. After he passed, they closed down that part-time course. He said, cannot make money. 4 years to pass. Have to keep the lecturer. Then what happened was, he don't understand technology. Then finally he saw the world, everybody talking about technology or AI or anything. And you know what he did? At the age of 59, he went to one university in this US, the famous Silicon Valley there. I think the number one technology university. The name of the university, you also will get a shock. I don't know how they admitted him. Singularity, don't know what university. Talk about singularity, the source one. And he graduated. Then the best thing is he mentioned, he said, when you devote your time to provide service for humanity, he said, your consciousness expands and you become beautiful. When you only care about yourself and are very selfish in your approach to life, your consciousness shrinks and you become miserable. Because he realized that he started so many projects and so many businesses that all become very successful. He launched them. He even get United Nations to recognize the International Toilet Day. The day he started his company. And he convinced the Prime Minister of India to build toilet all over India, the biggest project, 110 million toilet project. And now Xi Jinping is also asking him to go there and design, you got tourist, tourist toilet and rural toilet. You never believe, this guy, no education, nothing. And his English is very lousy, his math also very lousy. But he said, I just tell a story. And people believe in his story. And a lot of very talented, intelligent people find him like gifted, talent. And he mentioned an incident which is true. You know Singapore, Singapore don't believe in such people. No education, nothing. They don't believe one. Until he become very famous. Then one of the ministers of Nawan went overseas. To South Africa. He did a conference there in South Africa. He did all over the world. And he get 119 countries to support his World Toilet Day International project. And also. So when this minister went to South Africa, people asked him, oh, you're from Singapore. Do you know this Jack Sim?
the flow blur. What is this Jack Sim? Is it? He's more dare not say he don't know, he pretend. Oh, Jack Sim. Can you tell me what he do? He's the toilet man. Then after that, they tell him so much thing about that toilet thing. He came back and he summoned this Jack Sim to his office. Then after that, he only support his project. And he didn't know he was so famous. He said, you're more famous than our Prime Minister. That's why don't underestimate your capability. Even you got no education or whatever. Don't worry. You must have good heart. This is what happened to him. Because he find a lot of joy when he start to help people. His main intent is very simple. He want to do something that can benefit the poor and the unfortunate, they call it unfortunate. And that's how he started from simple idea he bring. Then he even trained people. Then after that he made him the manager. Then he passed the business to him. And he do all this without money or not, without capital or not, without funding or not. Only the latest project now he's doing on IT one, technology one. He said that one, the bank don't know what happened, lend him $8 million. He said that is the only one he took a real loan. Others are sponsor. You go and if you have the chance to come upon that, or you want me to send it to you all. You want to listen to it? I can forward to you. Quite long. But it's worth reading. You must read to the end. Yes, very good, very good. It's a video. It's very interesting. Anyway, I forward to my Kayamita. Okay. I just read to you the synopsis. Very interesting video to watch. Please watch to the end. You will not regret. He all want to know how a simple man can do really good work for humanity. Watch this video of a simple Singaporean, Jack Sim. He has done a lot for all those without the very basic human right of a proper toilet. He did it quietly all this year without the need of to be very rich, educated, titled, or politically powerful. Very inspiring and respectable fellow. I like his style of simple but humorous speaking. Watch the video, it's very humorous. Then they give you the link. So interesting video, not just about toilet, business and all those things. Okay. I will forward now. Okay, just send out. I think you should receive right now. You have it? Yeah, okay.
So, but still continue. So, so, uh, so, then that year, Prime Minister Modi decided that toilet is so important. He promised everybody, if I get to become Prime Minister, everybody get a toilet. So now he's building 110 million toilets. So this is the biggest toilet building campaign in the history of mankind. So this kind of power legitimization help politicians win election. So it's a very, very important thing. I think any crook keep on winning election because it's not me, you see. Maybe lah, maybe.
Andhra Pradesh, we have this state, with Singapore is building the new capital for them, Amravati. So they appointed me as the co-convener, together with the convener, the speaker of legislature. So the state, one of the very big states in India. So I become the same rank as the speaker of legislature. It's not so bad.
China, of course, goes China must change China clothing, right? So, in China, President Xi Jinping now, his favorite project is his toilet. Because India do, I also cannot don't do, right? So India Prime Minister favorite is toilet, and now President Xi is doing toilet revolution, Geming, you know. So I quickly change into Geming. And then we are now helping him with the tourism pilot as well as rural pilot. So this is a big change. And recently he just got into an unlimited perm. So I think we can work with him for quite long. So here's we are building the rainbow toilet, 彩虹跳跳跳. So we go to China, rural area, is a 干厕, the dry toilet, very, very. Small little island somewhere in the island. The Prime Minister of Samoa. So everybody in the morning, 5 a.m., is before sunrise, we have a dawn ceremony. All people, all very big. And then I'm the skinniest. So I'm also like brotherhood. We drank kava juice together. And then I become one. So this is all the funny things that happen when you keep going. So in 2 years ago, I went, because I don't know anything about technology, right? So now I know about public policy, I know about business, I don't know about technology. So I applied for the highest technology university in the world called the Singularity University. So this university is in NASA, inside Mountain View in Silicon Valley, and they teach the cutting edge technology. And when I go there, my classmates, you see all my classmates all very young, right? Everybody is so young, but I'm 59 years old, and I went to study 3 months and live together inside campus and day and night together with them. So it's really, really fun. I asked my wife, 3 months I'm not going to see you. She said, very good. So in this case, I had a very nice time. I learned a lot. Now I'm a technology orientated person, right? So I start. So when I was there, I started to think, hey, maybe I should do startup. All these people are doing startup, right? So what about, am I too old? No, I'm never too old. I'm actually feeling very young all the time. So I go and do a startup. So the first I do BOP, based on pyramid. There are 4 billion poor people in the world, and there are 3 billion middle class and rich. And since there are 4 billion poor, why don't we turn it into a marketplace, just like how Singapore turned from third world to first world, and how China copied us and turned third world to first world and got 700 million people out of poverty in the last 30 years. So let's do a World Trade Center for the poor. So I created this BOP hub, base of pyramid hub, and our vision is to get everybody to work together like a Swiss watch. So everyone, government, UN body, donor, NGO, university, development bank, everybody work together, companies, and if this is synchronized, the amount of wastages is going to go away, because every year there's about $150 billion of donation fund, and not much is happening. So we want to disrupt that and change everything into
business model. So I created the Beauty World Convention, and Mr. Daman came to open it with all the most leader of the development world. So Sir Fazli Abed, Paul Pollack, and Unilever, and all these people. And then the second time, Mr. Goh Chok Tong came to support. So all these are very thankful, because when we start something, it's completely blank, new idea, and they believe. So whatever I start, they believe, and then they legitimize, and then with their status, then we go out there. It's much easier work for us. So right now, I borrow $8 million from the bank, and I'm building this World Trade Center for the poor, and I want to copy all the good ideas, turn it into business solution, and then do startup. And I think we can do veteran startup. So the older people who used to be some manager or some directors in companies or multinational or small medium enterprise actually has a lot of business ideas. So the veteran should be better startup, because
he got a lot of very, very good ideas. And this guy, even though uneducated when young, after what he has done, you can see the potential of just one human being who has this good intention to help the world. And he managed to actually create something which is exceptional. I've never seen this way of coming up. Totally. Never before. And it is something that the world should actually give credit to. Yeah, he alone did so much thing. And for most of even very successful people who are very wealthy, very rich, like Bill Gates, what he has done with all the money and all the things is also equally grand. But if you compare to what he has done, actually this guy, the Singaporean guy, he has done a lot more. Well, he really do it as a one-man show, without capital, without money, without anything. He just has idea. And he just speak in a very simple manner. Uneducated, sometimes quite crude in the way he do things. But he has goodness, kindness. Maybe he's vowed, I don't know. Is to come this way and show it to the world that you can become successful despite your whatever limitation when you are young, since birth. Like his case is educational, academic. He is really useless. and yet he became so successful. So in this society of ours, opportunity is everywhere. Condition is available for every human being who has the sincerity and kind heart to materialize things for the good of the man. And the consciousness, like he said, grow inside his heart. it's not for himself anymore. And when you can think with that understanding, your nature is different. Like he said, the more you sacrifice, the more you serve society, mankind, humanity, your consciousness expands. Of course, the other way is to meditate. Then when you meditate, you realize the wisdom. You will have a lot of virtue, a lot of virtue. And your virtue is the kindness that you need to help mankind, humanity, and all those things. But what my nature do is I share the truth, which is limited. Not many people can have access to. But if those who have the understanding continue to have the faith and share all this, then little by little, it will become something entirely different. It will grow. Then as it grows, they call it the critical mass. Once you hit the critical mass, it expands by itself. You know what is critical mass, isn't it? How many of you don't know what is critical mass? Huh? You're not science student. You know uranium. Or they call it the those nuclear bombs that the scientists invented. They started it by developing this understanding that for it to go into nuclear fusion. You know what is nuclear fusion? Means that nuclear reaction get out of control. Understand? That's why it become like a neutron bomb, hydrogen bomb, nuclear bomb, and all those things. You need a critical mass. And all these critical mass, because they are radioactive and they got very tight of short half-life. So when you reach that critical mass, they expand and multiply by itself. Then it will develop into something that is beyond control. It has nuclear capability. That's why when you release such explosive type of nuclear reaction, then it can have very, very drastic destructive power. So we call this the critical mass. But I'm not asking you all to make neutral bomb. What I mean is critical mass in our sense, when enough kaya kita with the understanding and your nature become different. What we need is our critical mass is very low. Understand? We need less than 1%. Less than 1% of the maybe a country's population. Let's say Malaysia. Malaysia now, what is the population? What is the population? 30 million. Let's say, make it easy. Maybe 33 million. Or 30 million. 30 million. So 1% is how many? 1%. Divide by 100. You need 300,000. So when you have 300,000, the consciousness of the Malaysian will be different. But this 300, they have this ability to actually influence and make changes to the environment and all those things. So a lot of these things depend on critical mass condition. Like this guy, when he started, nobody believed him. There was nothing. But when he reached the critical mass, he expanded by itself. He became so famous, and people looked for him. And he started, he traveled all, he even went to Moscow, Russia. And he did some world conference there. And Russian people, you think they can just believe this guy? They called this guy over, talked to him, invited him over. Then finally, you know what they did. They asked him to look at the space, the cosmonaut, the Russian spacecraft toilet. They asked him to give idea to design the spacecraft toilet. That's why this guy is, I tell you, not only, he said he doesn't know Russian. He go there, he cannot understand what they are trying to tell him. But he just go where he believes there is a mission. And finally, everything get resolved. And he was able to convince them to hold very major international conference in Russia. And it's a world conference, not limited to Russia and all those things. So a lot of things, you do not, you may not think is possible. But if you have your nature, if you are willing to give it all out sincerely, it can manifest, it can happen. Okay, maybe we should end that part, the sharing part. Any other question? If God, I take one more before we end. Another 10 minutes. You all got any questions with regard to what we have shared today? Don't have. Then maybe we go to the commentary. We should finish off that commentary. Page 413. Okay. The great master instructed his disciples to take their seats. In Buddhism, everything has a fixed order. Those who take precepts first stand or sit in front of those who take them later. If you have held precepts for even one day longer, you sit in front. Once again, Bahai was number one. Heard that the sixth patriarch was coming, and so he acted as spokesman. He was the oldest, so naturally he was higher than everyone else. What Dhamma will you leave with us, High Master, so that we can teach the deluded one of future generations to understand the mind and see the nature? So do you realize Bahai is very wise? He immediately point towards the mind. He wants Huineng to teach the deluded one of future generation to understand the mind and see the nature. So this is what you should focus on. You must understand the mind. You got two mind. Understand? The mundane mind and the true mind. This is basic Dhamma. Sing Wei Gen Ben. And see the nature. See your true nature. Realize your silent mind, your true mind. The Master said, if you want to find the Buddha, you must look among living beings. If you recognize living beings, you recognize the Buddha nature. So can you understand that? It's very simple, very direct. Well, every one of us has the Buddha nature. That's why you don't know who you are, what you are. Your cultivation is still far behind. If you think you get enlightened, you are not enlightened. Because that one is not you. That's why this teaching is not what people think. So I just read again. You pay attention. The Master said, if you want to find the Buddha, you must look among living beings. If you recognize living beings, you recognize the Buddha nature. What does never slighting Bodhisattva vow? Why does never slighting Bodhisattva vow before everyone he meets? Because he knows that everyone is a Buddha. This one I explained before. Never slight. If you are a cultivator, never slight anybody. Because you never know that person's nature. We are each and everyone has the Buddha nature. He will accomplish Buddhahood himself. If he saw everyone as a demon, he will become a demon. See the Buddha within your own mind. Don't seek him outside. If you wish to see the Buddha, you must first respect living beings and recognize them all as Buddhas. Then you have understood the mind and seen your nature. Confused living beings do not recognize the Buddha, but the Buddha recognizes living beings. If you are biased and continuously pick at other people's fault, even if you are a Buddha, you turn into a living being. Living being and Buddha are just a thought apart. Xianhua always say, Fo gen zhong shen xiang cha yi nian zi jian. What differs? The Buddha and the living being, they differ from each other only one thought. a single thought of ignorance. It was from that first thought of ignorance that triggered of the downfall of living being. So if that single thought has not arisen, then living being will not be living being. Then they will be Buddha. Because from the source, each and every one of these form and mind, they come. See the Buddha within your own mind. Don't seek him outside. Oh, you have finished this one, huh? Okay, the second last paragraph. You are biased and continuously pick at other people's fault. Even if you are Buddha, you turn into a living being. And the Buddha are a thought of mind. Oh, this one we covered also, right? Buddha is mind, mind is Buddha. Right thoughts are the Buddha, demon thoughts are the demon. Pure thought are the Buddha, defiling thought are the demons. Take a look at your thought. You can keep your mind clean. That is the real Buddha. Without a clear, pure, genuine Buddha mind, where can you go to find the Buddha? You will never find him. The Buddha is made in your mind. Do not seek him outside. Nothing is separate from the self nature. Nothing is separate from your own mind. The 10,000 Dhamma are all produced from your mind. Nothing from outside. You better mark this sentence. This one is most profound. If you understand this, you understand the Buddha Dhamma. You remember Diamond Sutta? When the fifth Pitya ran to Huining, when he reached the path, this mundane mind, you must know how to use it and yet not deluded by it. Immediately Huining came to great enlightenment, and the first thing he said is what? How amazing that the self nature is complete by itself. How amazing. All Dhamma, he straight away conclude, all Dhamma come from that self nature. This is what Huining want you to understand. Nothing is separate from the self nature. It's just like the Lao Tzu's teaching, Tao. Nothing is apart from the Tao. And this is very powerful. Nothing is also separate from your mind within the conditioned world. All karma and everything. The 10,000 Dhammas are all produced from mind because this is within the conditioned world, not from outside. Then the poem. The Buddha spoke all Dhamma for the minds of living beings. If there were no mind, what use would Dhamma be? So this is just to give you the understanding. Okay, I think we end. Good. Okay. So at least we cover a little bit of the sutta. Okay. Exactly 6 o'clock. How many pages to go? Finishing already. Still got how many more pages? Four, two, eight, fourteen pages. I think quite fast. Hopefully, we should finish before the end of this month. Okay. We can, one more minute to go. Never mind. We can do the sharing of merits, then transfer merits, then we can end. Okay. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the last 3 hours or so. We will share and transfer all these merits to all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantam anamodito chirang rakkhanti loka sasadana hita vata chame hi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idam me nyatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo Emina punyam kamena mame bala samagamo satam samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu 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 okay. Pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end.